back to season two of Providence Coffee Talk. It's exciting to have you guys tuning in for another season, and I'm hoping this season is one that is going to be really encouraging to you as we spend more time talking with others, talking with people that, you know, just God's doing amazing work in their life. And so we're excited about all that God's doing there. Before we get into today's episode, where I'll be interviewing Mr. Matt Thomas from down at Camp Kale, let me just give you a couple quick things to remind you of just stuff going on here at the church. Hey, don't forget that we've got our fall festival this weekend from 4 to 7 at the church. That's going to be a great time for you to get plugged in. Also, November 2nd is our harvest day, another wonderful time that you can get plugged in here at the church with all the things that God's doing. And then lastly, as we get closer and closer to the holidays, we'll be putting out a holiday schedule of just kind of our office hours. But there's going to be a lot of things happening as we get closer to Christmas. So just mark your calendars and just be ready to just kind of embrace and see all the things that God's doing. So without further ado, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out. So enjoy. Welcome back to another episode of Providence Coffee Talk. Pastor Charles here, and I'm super thrilled about kind of the second season. We're spending more time, less about me just chatting around and more about talking with people, which I find super fun. And so we've got a good slate of people that are lined up to do this. Again, one of the things we're shooting for this year is maybe every other week instead of every week so that I don't burn myself out trying to do too many things at once. But I thought it'd be fun to get us kicked off for the second season by interviewing our very own Dr. Matt Thomas. Yes. So I've got Matt here with me. Matt, say hey.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you, Charles, for coming today.
Yeah, bud.
And buying me lunch after this.
This is great.
It's one of those
weird things. Like, I record you and then I buy you lunch. So you're really hoping then that this episode has so many likes that it can be monetized and then I can make more money. Okay, yes. That's not going to happen.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you that right now. All right.
But this becomes a series and we talk about food and stuff, that'd be great.
If we could figure it out on our own, I would 100% figure that out. But I don't know. That's the only thing that I don't have with Matt today is coffee. And that's because Matt is not a coffee drinker.
Why is that? I try. I just can't quite do it. Every year I try it one time just to see if my taste buds have changed, and they have not.
So, what is the day that you try that?
It's usually somewhere by the end of the year, and it's like around Christmas. So it's abundant around Christmas sometimes, and people give it. And so I was like, hey, let me try it one more time. And then I'm always like, no, this is not good. It's not for me.
So do you try to drink it like straight black, or do you just drink it like?
I have tried every way possible. And so it just does not fit into who I am. And it is so sad because it is such a cultural phenomenon nowadays. And so I feel like I'm a cultural outcast because I don't drink coffee. So the strongest I can get is Dr. Pepper. And so that's my beverage of choice.
I mean, I wouldn't be. So have you tried the Dr. Pepper cake?
I have not tried the Dr. Pepper cake.
So that was a big thing when I was doing youth ministry back in Texas. Is there was this one kid, his name was Brandon, and he was like, oh, I make the best Dr. Pepper cake whatsoever. I'm like, well, what is that? How does that work? And so I've always been kind of curious as to, and I've seen them.
Right. But you've never made one.
No, I've never made one because I feel like it's silly.
Right. So I think it's something that we should do right now.
Well, we're going to pause and go make a cake and then come back. No, we're not going to do that.
Maybe when you take me to lunch, we can find a Dr. Pepper cake.
We'll find a Dr. Pepper and then we'll see if maybe we can build a cake over there.
It's probably just like you put a sponge cake in and soaked it in Dr. Pepper.
I
don't know Brandon at all.
No, you
know, Brandon, so that's very random.
Brandon's a neat guy, but but I feel like it's like a tres leches of like, of soda cake, but gotcha. Like a wet bread sweet cake. I just don't know what I think about that.
Sounds nasty. Yeah. Like coffee.
Yeah. I mean, I think coffee is great,
but I know you do.
I think you just haven't had the right roast of coffee maybe there's just physically DNA something wrong with your taste buds.
Actually, there may be. So I'm not averse to that reality. So, if you
don't brush your tongue, then you don't have to worry about ever messing up your taste buds.
Well, I do that. So one of the things I like is to smell good and to have good breath.
Good hygiene is important.
Yes, it is. So I think people that drink too much coffee, I'm just saying without saying it,
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. Like, that's one of the things I look at regularly in the mirror when I'm brushing my teeth. And I'm just like, I probably should hold back on the coffee because it does. It stains your teeth. It's right. Weird. But I'm also too cheap to go get like teeth whitening.
Uh-huh.
I know that people do that. I'm too cheap.
Well, you know what? A good resource. And this is not FDA approved, I don't think.
Okay.
But hydrogen peroxide.
I heard about that.
Is an oral debrider. Yes, it is. Yeah, so there's your fun fact for today.
So did you learn that?
Hydrogen peroxide is an oral debrider.
Is that like you learned that in chemistry?
You're
like,
I didn't do. So religion major. So I didn't do any sciences or math.
That was in your college. In your Christian ministry class. It's like, okay, guys, listen, when it's time for invitation, you don't want to look janky up there. All right. You want them to
get their teeth white. Yeah.
make sure that you have mints on hand so that you can. So let's talk a little bit about kale real quick. You've been out here. How long have you been doing kale as director?
February, it'll be 15 years full time. 15 years in February. And then did probably about a year and a half, 2 years as the interim director.
Okay.
So this past summer, I think, was my 16th summer.
So
it's been a while.
It's been some time. And you've seen, I guess during that time, because I ask a lot of people about like kale before and after, and you've seen a huge uptick. And just the people that have, just like the attention that kale gets, as well as just attendance of kids and things like that in the summer. Like what, from when you started to now, like what's your attendance like average? I know that you don't have those numbers in front of you, but like.
So we average probably about somewhere between 500 to 600 kids for a summer. Uh-huh. So we can do about 110 per week. And so we do about 6 weeks of summer camp. Then we're going to do 6 weeks this coming summer. Wow. And we get pretty close to full.
Yeah.
The last couple of years have been really good as far as attendance. So when I first got here, you know, we were kind of at a downturn anyway. Mm-hmm. So we might have had 150, 200.
Yeah.
So now we're running about 600.
That's great.
For the summer. I mean, yeah.
600 kids throughout the summer. Because you're capacity-wise, the camp can only hold about, 150 to 200?
No, actually 110 per week.
110 a week.
Is our max. Yeah. So we're getting close to our maxing out each week. So that's good.
Yeah.
And then you got to kind of cut back a little bit because, we need about 25 to 30 counselors.
Yeah.
So they take up beds. And
yeah.
So that kind of rounds out to your max capacity with the campers and the counselors.
Well, I think too, when you think about only having 110 a week, that's more manageable than if you're trying to run 1,000 a week.
Correct. Correct. Yes. Yes.
I've been to those camps where they're trying to run 600, 700, 800 through a camp in 1 week. And I'm like, this is a nightmare.
Right. Yeah. So we're really, we can't do much more until we get that dining hall. And that is our next project.
Yeah.
So,
I saw the big sign when I drove up today. Like it looks really good.
Yeah. So that's, we're looking at that hopefully by the end of 2026, first of 2027, hope to break ground on that. So, it was a great big cost.
Yeah.
And we value engineered it. In other words, we try to cut costs as much as we can, but it's still a commercial build. So that's a lot of money. So, but we're looking at hopefully breaking ground, like I said, probably the end of 2026, first of 2027.
That'd be cool.
And we do have, after this week, we got a really nice donation this week.
That's nice.
And so I believe we have just over $1 million in the bank for the dining hall fundraiser.
That's awesome.
For the building. And so we still got some things to do. And it is a multi-million dollar building. Not that we have, trying to be super big, but just because of the kind of facility with the kitchen and everything else.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the thing too, like, cause right now you're spending most of your resources on when it comes to the dining aspect, you have the pavilion out by the water.
So outdoor dining at its finest.
Yeah. Which sounds,
nobody wants to do that in January and February,
which sounds luxury until cause I've been here teaching at some camp and you're like, it's pouring down rain. It's like, where are the kids eating?
Right.
The only place we got.
That's right.
So, it's going to be nice getting that dining hall in. And then, I'm guessing it's going to be also like a multi-purpose setup as well, or is
not
it just
so
be
much
for dining?
Actually, so most of it is just for the dining.
Okay.
And so we will have some aspects of it, but, you know, no, not really recreation.
Yeah.
Because we are underneath the health department. And so we're trying to really focus in on all those aspects to run a really nice dining area and not have cross functions where it might can endanger our scores.
And it may be that people probably don't really think about that sometimes when they think about the camp, because you are open to the public and because you serve food. I mean, you have a responsibility.
To
follow along those.
We get our water is tested, our kitchen facilities. And actually, when the health department comes, they inspect our entire camp and not just the kitchen.
Oh.
So our health scores are for the entire camp. And because we are on well water, they check our water. And and now, you know, even the county does come out and does fire inspections. So there are a lot of inspections and a lot of things to keep up with to keep us all safe. And
I think that's the interesting piece, because some people don't think about that. I think a lot of times people isolate. They're like, they think of you like a church, like, oh, well, you can do whatever you want because you're kind of a church and you're under this umbrella. But you guys are, and it's not really like a church camp, right? You've described it as a
faith-based residential summer camp.
Yeah. And I think that's the interesting piece, because you probably have any kids that do you think come to camp from the community that have no like church affiliation whatsoever?
Over 51% each summer. So do not affiliate with a church. So all of our campers are, they register individually, and most of the campers that come are from the community and not so much from churches.
I mean, that's pretty awesome. I don't know, because most of the time when you think of church camp, it's like the churches individually are trying to draw kids out from the community to say, come along with us, you know, but you've opened yourself up as a camp where you are primarily already in the community, and the community just sending their kids to you.
Right.
And so that's pretty awesome.
Right.
But you also have, like, you also rent facilities throughout the year as well. So even during the summer for churches and things like that, that want to do their own camp.
Yes. And so we actually, we have one church out of Greenville who comes and does their own camp every summer.
That's awesome.
And we're working with some other groups to be able to come in. And so we try to, the end of, like, the last week of July and a couple of weeks into August, we're open that if churches want to come and do their own. So we do about, like I said, about June and July are when we run our own camps. That's our main part of our ministry.
Uh-huh.
And then the rental opportunities helps us to do the things that we need to do for summer camp.
Yeah. So heads up, anybody listening, rent the facility.
www.campkale.com. Yes.
And that's because we've even talked about, I think, at Providence, doing like a men's retreat out here, trying to figure out like how can we do something fun where even just our guys can get away for a little bit,
right?
Kind of hone in, focus in a little. You even do skeet shooting out here.
That's actually a neat thing. We're upgrading our ranges at the moment now. And so we've got some plans to do some, again, for the skeet and trap shooting to bulk that up, and even our archery and also we are going to, we already have the targets, but we're going to start doing 3D archery here at Camp Gale.
What is 3D archery?
3D archery is where you have like the foam targets of the animals.
Uh-huh.
And so you can actually shoot at like skunks and cheetahs and a deer and all kind of neat little things that that are to size, lifelike to size.
Yeah.
No animals were harmed in the 3D shoot. So they're all foam. Yes.
So what about like, so this is kind of a thought for me. Do y'all ever do archery tag out here?
Yes, we have an archery tag course.
Shut up.
Did you not know that?
No, I did not, but that'd be fantastic.
Oh, my word. We have a course already all set up, and we have the archery bows and arrows with the puff on the end, but they do not leave a mark, at least for the most part. But that's really fun. Archery tag is great.
Yeah, because I think that'd be fun to do, especially for like a men's retreat. I don't know. I think as a pastor, I would probably get pummeled.
No,
my guys, they'd be like,
well, look at that one deacon and you just, you know, light him up. I did not say that out loud.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have some deacons that they'd probably be pretty competitive in that.
We're going to edit this part out, right?
No, it'd be fine.
Okay.
All my deacons are great. I have no, they're
yes,
all
they
wonderful.
Are. I know them all.
Yes, you do. Because you served at Providence for what, almost a year and a half?
Somewhere along those lines. Yeah.
Because you came in between, and then they hired a guy, and then when that guy left, you came back again.
I did.
And then they said, why don't you just be our pastor? And you said, I have other things that I need to do.
It was too big of a job for me. Yes.
It was a lot.
That's great. I love Providence. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
They and just wonderful people. Absolutely love them.
I was so thankful to follow up a guy like you who came in and helped. I don't want to say like take care of some of the little odds and ends type things, but you provided a lot of leadership for them in that in-between season that I think that they really needed at that time. And more than anything, just that love and support that pastors can bring. And
right.
Because now you're even doing that now with Freedom there in Elizabeth City, right?
I am. So, yeah.
And so you've been there, what, about 18 months?
At a year.
Right at a year.
And probably going to do another year.
Yeah. Yes. And so, and that's been good because it's kind of nice when you can have, you're still able to manage the camp stuff here, and then you can help provide support and leadership to a local church as well. So it gives you some freedoms in there. And I always thought that was a cool thing, especially for these roles.
Yeah. So actually in the last 15 years that I've been at Camp Kale, I've probably done that about 9 times.
Wow.
With churches. And so
I don't know if that's good or bad. Like, cause that means that 9 churches have had to go through pastoral changes.
Yeah. But if you look at that, it's not actually just not a associational churches.
Yeah.
I've done some other churches, that have not been, even in our denomination.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of neat too, to kind of go around and see how different churches worship and to kind of understand, what their faith stance are. And if I can align with their faith stance in some way and bring about God's word and preach God's word and the gospel, then hey, I'm all willing to go.
That's awesome. And I think that's what I love too about, just because you and I have talked multiple times, if I had enough money in the world, I'd find a way to hire you and bring you at Providence. I don't have enough money in the world, but you know, one of the things that we always talk about is especially churches in our area, just that need for loving and quality pastors, I think, to exist within the community. And I am thankful because within our personal association, I find a lot of those guys who have such great qualities of leadership about them. And so it's interesting to kind of always connect with guys who share that same heart and passion for churches, same passion for ministry. Because I think sometimes guys jump into ministry and they just go, oh, well, that'll be easy.
Right.
And I have yet to find the easy button when it comes to pastoral ministry.
Right. Nah. Yeah. And Northeast North Carolina is a unique, in and of itself.
Yeah.
And so you just got to come in and love the people.
Yeah.
And understand, where they're coming from and that they love the Lord too. And they want the church to grow too. But you just kind of need to meet them where they are and get to know them. And once you get to know them and they get to know you, and then, you figure out what the passion is for the church and the direction that they're going and join together instead of somebody just trying to go in a direction that nobody wants to go.
Yeah.
So if the Lord's leading it, you'll go a lot further than if everybody wants to do their own thing.
I think
was it 2-degree changes?
Yeah. You know,
just 2 degrees at a time.
We talked about that last night.
That's hurting your heart right now.
It is. Yeah. Because I'm one of those guys. I have to force myself to slow down.
Yeah.
Like I do. And I have to force myself and remind myself that, just because it's an idea doesn't mean that it has to be implemented.
Right.
You know, because I will fill up notebooks with ideas of what I think would work, and it might work.
Yeah.
But it might not work right now. And it might not even work at this church. Like, it might be a good idea somewhere else down the road for another church down the road.
Or for somebody else to implement.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, as I'm meeting another pastor, so you're going to
write a book?
I've thought about it.
Yeah.
But the thing that keeps me from writing a book, and it's this really simple thing that I'm very bad about.
Grammar.
Time.
I thought it was grammar.
Grammar. Well, I'm bad about grammar too, but that's why I'm married. So I'm married so that I don't have to, I'm just bad about time.
They got that AI stuff now. You just throw your ideas into something.
Dude,
it kind of sounds like plagiarism to a degree.
It is a little bit, I'm sure. But,
this podcast is not sponsored by AI.
No, not sponsored. But if chat wants to sponsor, that'd be great. I think the thing that I appreciate about AI is it feels like there's moments where sometimes, because being solo staff, it is really hard to bounce an idea,
right?
You know? And so sometimes it's nice to just open up chat and be like, hey, I've got this idea. Like, how would it, knowing that it's going to try to find a way to make my idea,
right?
Like, it's going to praise my idea and think it's the
best. So theologically,
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you don't want
you don't want AI to take the work of the Holy Spirit away from you.
No,
and oh my goodness, Charles.
but the thing of it is too, like sometimes my ideas aren't even like spiritual. They're just like, hey, like I asked it the other day. I was looking at like a leadership aspect of just cultural things, and so I said, hey, you remember this thing that this event that happened at this time? How would you draw that out and bring about leadership principles that could work within this? And you set the parameters. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's going to find a way to do it. Like that's its job, is right, to essentially be your personal cheerleader.
Okay.
And so, but it spits out all of this stuff. And I was like, okay. So what it does is when I'm reading those things, it gives me a chance to like, go, okay, how then going back and looking at it, seeing kind of how it immediately puts some like tempo to what is there. How can I look at that video, or how can I look at that story? How can I look at that a little bit different and then draw some of those things out?
Gotcha.
As well. So it's kind of nice.
So it's not robbing your creativity. It's more or less enhancing your ideas.
Yeah. It's almost like that spark.
Okay.
You know, sometimes I just need a spark to go, because I will think about something and think about something, but I can't get past like that one thing.
Okay.
And so it's nice to just be able to help get me over that one thing so that I can go, oh, okay, like that's how that would work.
So when you get your writer's block,
yeah,
or your sermon block, you throw it into AI and you say, all right, mix this up for me. And
I had a buddy that would even, he told me, he said, dude, if you upgrade, and I'm like, I'm not going to upgrade, that sounds pretentious. But he said, you can even give it like, look at these commentaries, look at this stuff, pull from these things. And I'm just like, that sounds a little bit like, I wouldn't, again, I wouldn't mind it for a spark.
Right.
But then to sit back and rely on it.
Nah, that wouldn't be good.
And so, but I even,
because that does get into plagiarism.
Yeah. I get into,
you gotta make sure you cite your sources.
Yeah. I work in rough outlines as it is. And right. So a lot of times, that's,
you don't have AI in your ear while you preach, right?
No, that would, because then again, and I mentioned this in my men's Bible study the other day, or maybe it was,
because then they wouldn't need you.
They wouldn't need me.
Yeah. No, because you, so just, if you get those screens in your church, you just, you have an AI.
Yeah. Just hit play. Just deep fake AI videos of me preaching and just play that on the screen. It's not even me preaching. That'd be hilarious. I would laugh at that, but yeah, it's one of those things too, where I just, sometimes you, being a solo pastor, it's really hard, because when you're sitting there with an idea sometimes and you're just going, all right, I have this idea, but you're looking around and you've got no one to bounce that idea off of.
Well, you always have me.
I know that.
Yeah, but give me a call.
But I'm not going to bother you all the time.
Take me to lunch and I'll listen to anything you have to say.
I don't have enough money for that, because I have so many like thoughts that run through my head. And you know, our secretary at the church, she's great. Like she'll pop in the office and she'll sit there and she'll, okay, Charles, you know, but I came from a church that we had about 4 or 5 on staff. So it wasn't anything to just pile in a room and say, hey, we've got an idea for this event.
Gotcha.
What would it look like to do this and this and this and this? Or our pastor would get us into a staff meeting and say, hey, this is what I'm going to be preaching on Sunday. Do you guys have any stories that would work within that? Or do you have anything that would kind of work in that? And so it was kind of nice, because then you have more of a cooperative approach
right.
to ministry. To where sometimes here, like our poor chairman of Deacon Scott, I think I probably text him like 3 or 4 times a week. I'm like, hey. and so I feel bad, because I mean,
well, to know Scott is to love him.
Scott's lovable. Yeah. I mean, I love Scott to death, but
there's your shout out, Scott.
Yeah, there's your shout. But it's one of those things where I don't know. It's hard. And we're working on that. I mean, as a church, we're working on trying to fill that next role.
Gotcha.
But again, when you, that's such an unknown still. Right. So it's a little bit unnerving.
So you're not going to have an AI associate pastor.
That'd be weird.
That would be weird.
Yeah. Cause, but I mean, that's the future of technology right now too. And it's been so crazy for me, because I remember first exploring it, you know, about 3 or 4 years ago when it was really starting to come out.
Right.
And then you see now that in every way possible, people are incorporating it. Yeah. Into daily work and life.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's everywhere. When you're
it's calling, not here yet. No. I don't think it is. I don't think it's at Camp Kale, because it scares me.
But like customer support services now,
yeah,
all that's AI based. Your phones are all AI based. The things that I am.
So we don't even know if we're using it.
Right.
Oh like, my goodness.
You don't even know.
Big Brother is here.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I mean, you can't get away from it. I mean, AI is integrated into the interwebs. So if you have a router anywhere, yeah, you're suckered in somehow. But you know, the pieces, the pieces that I do think that, you know, people use that to enhance stuff. It is going to take away jobs, I think, in the future, but everywhere that we go and every leadership training that we discuss there, all they are pumping is, if you're not at least in some way accustomed to with how AI works,
really,
you're going to be behind the times.
Gotcha.
And that's, and to me, that's an unfortunate aspect because, I think that that does, I don't mind using it, like I said, to spark creativity.
Right.
But I think to allow the computer to be the creative element.
All right.
We're getting so far into like a 1984, like George Orwell mentality. So, but the other piece is, you know, what safeguards and parameters are put on that? Where does it stop and where does it end? And I think you're finding out that, that there's no end to that.
Gotcha.
Like there's not like you travel down that road and there's a dead end somewhere. It just keeps learning past that.
Right.
So that's a piece that's kind of fun, but
yeah,
I don't know how we got on that.
I'm not sure.
But
I think I pointed you down that highway and you went.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, talking about pastoral ministry, I think that's one of the things that we have to always, as I think as pastors, you always having to look to where is the culture? Not that we as churches try to integrate within the culture.
Right.
But that we at least have to know where the culture is at and where it's going.
Yes.
Because if somebody comes to me and says, man, I had this question about God. And so I asked AI.
Oh,
like,
my word.
I'm not going to look at him and go, well, that was the dumbest thing I ever heard. I would probably say, well, what did it tell you? Like let's talk through that.
Right.
What were the parameters that you gave it? You know, what, like, give me some more context as to how you came to that. What's the real question that you're searching for?
Right.
And then you can get deeper into it. But there are a lot of people that, even within our church, that, you know, teachers that I talk with. In fact, it was funny. We had one of our things was, we've changed over curriculums and they wanted to keep adding this piece. And I said, I'll tell you what, if you take the entire Bible story that's there and you just copy and paste that and say, make this into a script to do da da da, it will take those pieces out and create a, like, a little script that you can use for something. So that's the thing too. You can load in.
Just send it to me and I'll do it for you for
$9.99
10% discount for Sunday school teachers at Providence.
I'm not gonna lie. There's moments before I hit send on an email. Sometimes I load that email in and I go, hey, make this sound a little bit more friendly because it just sounds it sounds like I'm being real direct. And gotcha. and it'll spit out like something.
Well, then they're wondering when they get the email, is this really from Charles?
It's really like the content is mine.
Yes,
but the grammar.
But the intent of the heart is not there.
It is. It is. Like, I don't want to come across as always being bullheaded, so I have to, like, I'm usually
You're a really nice guy. And thanks. Speaking about being a nice guy,
what?
You know what October is, right?
It is Pastor Appreciation Month.
Appreciation Month. So I heard that you've been getting Almond Joys.
I have been getting Almond
Joys. Yeah.
And I think I filled up like a little bucket in my office with them right now.
Right.
And that's been great, but I could use more.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say no.
What else would you like for Pastor Appreciation?
Oh, dude.
And what would you not like?
I would like $1 million. I would not like...
What would you do with $1 million?
Build a house.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's one of the things they keep asking me. Like, when are you going to start building?
When you have $1 million.
When the cultural economy and my personal economy match up. And that's probably when I'll be able to start building. we're hoping to do that here fairly soon. It's just taking a lot longer than we wanted. But no, I don't know. What would I want?
Do you need a retreat?
Are you trying to invite me to Camp Kale for a retreat?
I mean, no, I'm talking about, like, you know,
Providence to rent out a retreat.
No. I'm saying, you know, maybe you just need a time away for a couple of days, you know, had the beach or, someplace, you know, spiritual, the mountains.
I have access to all those things. I think the big piece is I don't know if you feel this way or not, but I usually feel jealous when I go somewhere without my kids.
I got you.
Do you feel jealous when you do that?
Most of my kids are out of the house.
You have a little bit different situation.
I'm an old man now.
But yeah. Like when your kids were younger though, did you hate like...
Oh yeah, I didn't like to be away from them.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. No. And now you have like grandkids.
I do have grandkids. I got four grandkids.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
So you're broke.
Not broke, but
but not rich.
Not rich. I'm somewhere.
if it's like anything like the people that I see with their grandkids, it's just like, oh man, they got to have this and this and this and this and this. And I remember, right, like the only thing that I remember my grandparents really gave me was a paddling. I don't remember much else.
And you probably deserved it too.
Those are some experiences earned. But anyway, Pastor Appreciation. It's been fun. There's been a few posts on Facebook, and I read the comments, and it's really sweet. And of course, Melina, she always tries to find a way to like make a funny comment in there. And so she's told me what she wanted to post, and then she was like, I'm not going to do that though.
Do you get, you know, is there such a thing as like a brisket of the month or something like that?
Brisket of the month club.
They could sign you up. Wouldn't you love that though?
Could you imagine how expensive that club would be though?
That'd be good. But if they appreciated you like that.
Brisket of the month.
Brisket of the month. And then along with that, a mini subscription to like, like oak of the month or some kind of wood. Yeah. That you can send.
Smoker of the month.
Smoker. Wood smoker.
It's like, it's just a kit that you order and they send you a piece of meat and some wood to smoke it. And you're like, here.
Yes.
You know, that's a business idea. Let's write that down. We're going to ask AI to figure out a way to build a business model out of that. Like, how would you?
But then we owe them like a percentage though, right?
No. It's all ours at that point.
Okay, good.
I don't really know. Anyway. But yeah, I don't know. I think that, I mean, they do a pretty decent job of giving as a church throughout the year. So it's always hard to get to that one thing and be like, well, this is the one month where you were supposed to do all that.
Like, I'm sorry that your church loves you throughout the year.
I'm sorry that you did it from January up until now, but you really should have waited until, they really do. And that's been something that we've always kind of, you know, people will ask us all the time, what do you guys need? Like, I need my gutters cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
That's just because I don't want to do it.
That's the insurance and liability issue.
Right. And that's the thing. And I'm the liability. And so that's why I don't get on my roof and do it.
Yes.
But I got to find someone that'll do it. But, you know, there's just some things that our church is so giving and caring. I've been getting cards and Almond Joys, which has been amazing. But I think, too, one of the things that I love about, you know, Pastor Appreciation Month, especially right now with the way that everything's been going, we've had a lot of people coming into our church to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really sweet to just be able to sit down and hear where they're at, what's their story, what's going on. And like even this Sunday, we've got two that we're going to be baptizing on Sunday.
Nice.
And then I talked with another one, a kid today who's wanting to get baptized. And then I've got more of them coming down the pipe that are just like, mm-hmm. man, we're interested in this. And so we always take it kind of slow. We were talking last night in our quarterly conference. I said, we were talking about a project, and I said, we're going to take this project like a good brisket, low and slow. Right. And so I always try to like phrase that. It sounds weird, but I try to phrase it like that because you think about all the things that happen within that period of from when you start it to when you finish it. It is a long process. You've done the barbecues here.
Absolutely.
You've got what Pig on the Perquimans is in March this year, right?
It's coming up in, let's see, I think it's April this year because of the way that Easter falls.
I didn't know if it was because of the way that March and the other competitions were around the state.
Yes. So. Yeah. The Whole Hog series. Yeah.
But you know, when you're around all these guys, it's so fun to hear their different stories of how they do that. And so that's kind of the approach that I take to where you hear some of these guys and they'll tell you, you've got to baby this to a point. And then you got to have the right amount of this and the right amount of this. And you've got to just kind of let it do its thing and then just watch it.
Right.
And that's kind of the approach, I guess, is like even pastoral stuff. It's kind of the approach that I take. I just kind of go slow.
Low and slow. I would not expect that of you.
I've had to learn that.
Yeah.
No joke. I've had to learn because I am a... all right, let's do this and get it done.
So you've tried to microwave the ideas?
I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how many times have you microwaved a brisket and then you've been like, that's delicious?
That'd be terrible.
No, it's awful.
Terrible.
Yeah. So if you take your time with it.
Like eating a football.
Well, and you said it earlier, and perfectly, if you just come in and love the people and spend time with them, one of the things I think that you have to remember about pastoral ministry is they got to trust you.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't trust you, they're not going to listen to you.
Right.
Right. And
if you're not listening to them,
right. Cause And that's one of the things I tell them. I tell them all the time. And sometimes they take me up on it. Sometimes they don't. I said, if you've got a complaint, come tell me, because you've probably got some truth in there mm-hmm. that I need to hear and that maybe right. we need to adjust.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes they just feel like they're badgering. And that's not the case. I think it's just, you have things on your heart.
Right.
And I think having those things on your heart is essential for the pastor. But the pastor also has to be humble enough to listen. Mm-hmm. And especially if it's a critique at them.
Right.
Like, I've had those critiques. I've had people say, like, well, you don't do this and this and this. Okay. You're correct on some of those things. There's a little bit of, like, maybe things you don't know about behind the scenes there. But at right. the same time, I think you're right. I do need to give some more attention to this or that.
Right.
So I think that's part of, but that's part of too, where you get appreciated as a pastor when you, like, I think if pastors that aren't getting appreciated, they're probably telling their church that they're terrible all the time. And I wouldn't appreciate that guy, but I think if you just take your time with church people. And so, but yeah, for me, I don't know. I don't need anything.
Okay.
That makes sense. Like, I have more than what I need. In fact, you know, I think if I were to need anything, it probably would just be dedicated time off, but they gripe at me for not doing that anyway.
Right.
So they're always like, you need to go away for a little bit. I know that, but there's so many fun things going on. I don't want to miss out.
Right.
So I have to, just as much as I'm asking them to trust me, I've got to learn to trust that if I walk away for a weekend or a week just to go refresh, that they're not going to like lose their minds.
Right.
So, and that's me though. It's not their fault. That's my fault. So anyway, and we've hit a lot about food today, which yeah. I think is fun.
We really went off that AI rabbit trail,
and that's okay. I don't mind going on rabbit trails. Rabbit trails are fun. Yeah. I think they're interesting. So, but food is always a good one too. And again, just to put another plug in there for you, Pig on the Requirements, such a cool event.
Yes. Yeah, so the Whole Hog Barbecue Series that mm-hmm. we're a part of, so that's actually a sanctioned event.
Yeah.
So we have professional cook teams, and we also have our backyard for those that don't want to follow the rules.
Don't want to follow the rules.
Don't want to follow the rules. And last year we had over 800 people here. And so I wish I had that date in front of me
that's okay.
where that is. But
we can
Facebook, campkill.com.
And as we get closer, we'll promote it more. And I really felt like you had more than 800 people here though last year.
We probably did, but that's, you know, I try not to be that, you know, that pastor who looks out in the congregation and sees double.
Yeah.
So I try to do a, you know, how many people are actually what I think is here. And sometimes I lowball that.
I always tell our ushers on Sunday, I'm like, okay, count and then add 10. They never do though. I think they subtract 10 sometimes just to mess with me. But yeah, what I love about that event is for my end and the guys that have been doing it with me, it is a long night. Like it really is a long night. These guys though that are pros at it, mm-hmm. it's so fun. If you get paired up against them in their tent, they've got the propane on, they've got it set in the temp they want, and they're asleep in their little like coverings.
Right.
And then their alarm goes off and they get them go, oh, sounds great. You know? And I think for me, the pressure that I have in the competition aspect of it is, I want it to be perfect. You know, right. I want it to be the most perfect barbecue you've ever had in your life. Where some of these guys are like, man, I mean, I'm just learning. I'm getting experience. And I'm just like, oh, I can't do that. Like, I want it to be the best. But we always support in that way, not just through cooking, but also trying to encourage you guys to come out and be a part. So, and it's just a really neat event to have barbecue near the water.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes it's windy, sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cool. I mean, sometimes it rains, but either way, I mean, it's such a fun time to get together. And so I'm really hoping this year is a big event for you guys.
And it smells so good.
So good.
Oh my goodness.
All day long.
Friday night, all of Saturday.
I have to bathe when I get home. And I think there was one day I didn't like,
bathe one day?
No, I didn't.
Oh, come on, Charles.
Bathing is overrated. But there was one day like I had the sweatshirt that I wore for that night and I didn't wash it immediately. And sure enough, man, that thing still smelled like barbecue. I mean, it was glorious. Yeah. Just for that moment, just going, you know, it's like guys with their hunting clothes.
Take
you know,
it all in, yes.
Guys that are avid hunters, they don't wash those things, right? Or if they do, they only wash them in water.
You know, I have not seen that smell as a Yankee Candle yet.
Barbecue?
Barbecue.
Or like, avid hunter.
No. Smoked.
Low and slow.
Yeah, low and slow smoked.
I'm pretty sure
Yankee candle.
I'm pretty sure
it had to be a Southern candle. It couldn't be a Yankee candle.
It's just beef tallow, I'm sure, is all it is. It's just beef fat that you got three wicks in and just let it go. That'd be a pretty incredible candle, though.
It would smell great.
It just smell like an oak fire. And then, in fact, I smoked a couple pork butts the other day, and oh my gosh, it's just fun to do. I think when we did our backyard, I don't think you made it out to our back to school thing back in August. I think we smoked like 12 pork butts.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have been there if I'd have known.
Dude, we did four big slabs of pork belly.
Right.
And then one of our guys at church has a big pig cooker. We borrowed it and did like 120 leg quarters, chicken leg quarters on it. And I can't tell you how many people we had. We had over 200, maybe even 300 people there.
Awesome.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
And that's when we've always tried to find ways that we can do that and really enjoy it. But you know, we got our fall festival coming up too on the 25th. That's going to be.
So what you doing for your fall festival?
So this year we're doing a little bit of a different approach. Normally we do our trunk or treat on the 31st, but you know, I've always kind of put ideas out there and let teams kind of think about like, how do we do this? And so our mission and outreach team, this year decided to take it on. And instead of it being like one ministry area that's really doing it, it is like our deacons have a role in it. Our finance team has a role in it. Our children's have a role. So they each have their own like responsibilities of how to serve and do. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to figure out, hopefully if it's good weather, we'll spread that out across the church as much as we can. We've got hay rides that we'll be doing. We've got all sorts of other things. Of course, there'll be candy to hand out to the kids. There'll be cake walks. There'll be different activities and games that people can plug in and do. And so we got bounce houses that'll be coming in. So it's really, we're promoting it as a big community event. One of the things that I've kind of done when I got here was I spent that first year kind of identifying what events that they did that were really good.
Right.
And then said, how do we put more resources towards that event to make it not just good, but great.
Right.
And it's been one of those things where we've kind of incorporated a few things here and there on them. But like when we come around to the spring, they're kind of calling their spring fling, which is where we do like a big Easter egg hunt on like, I guess it's a Sunday, but we're trying to say, how do we make that even bigger? Our back to school bash. That's kind of one that this year was wild. I'm not gonna lie to you. This year was nuts. we do, it's like a water day. Uh-huh. And we did the barbecue, but we're so thankful for our volunteer fire department. They come out and they bring the fire truck.
That's awesome.
And this year they did a certification on the fire truck. And while they were there, they said, well, I guess we could spray the kids. and so they did. They opened that hose up on this big 100-foot platform truck and literally made it rain all over the church. And the kids were just having a blast in it. And the adults love to see it too. I think even our senior adults, they love to just sit out back and just watch the kids having fun, you know, and anything that we can do to make that happen. And then we have our Christmas family nights coming up. Those are fun too. We get together and do silly stuff, play bingo, make crafts, watch movies.
Right.
It's just a church family.
Cool.
So that's one of the big things that I always think about is like, how do we, and I'm sure you think about it too, like here at Kale, what are some things that you can do to really bring the community out and in?
Right.
I always say, even if they never come to church here, at least they know that we are a church here and that we care.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's one of the things we're not doing our pancakes and pajamas this year. We're taking a break from that. We're doing a Coco and Carol fun run.
That sounds like a blast.
So we're looking at doing in our park area and then letting people do that fun run and at the end have hot chocolate. And
okay, so in my head I had a different vision of that. I had a feeling like they show up and then you hand them an open cup of hot chocolate
and run with it,
and they have to run while singing carols.
That would be cool too. That could be a part of it.
That's Coco and caroling right there. Right. And then You judge the winner not by who gets there, but who has the most content left of their cup.
Yes. See, I would have drank it all. So
I mean, that's a personal choice, though. You can still do that, right. But it's kind of like those egg drops. Remember those egg spoon drops? Oh, like you drop an egg.
Absolutely.
Like you have to pick it. But imagine a big steaming hot thing of hot cocoa and be like, just don't drop it.
Right.
I don't think you're going to get many people sign up for that one. But I don't know. There are those people that do those mud runs. So maybe.
Yeah.
You might get some extremists.
Not any. We're not pouring any hot chocolate on people. Just at the end to enjoy.
You need like a hot chocolate fountain. Maybe those like you just
those chocolate fountains look nasty.
No, hot chocolate fountain.
I know, but warm still. I don't know. Remember I talked about sanitation grades and health inspectors and all that good stuff. Just
as long as
try to keep people safe.
As long as they don't come out that day, you're okay.
No, that's not how it works.
They'll find out. So anyway, well, hey, Matt, man, thanks for jumping in, chatting with me today.
Absolutely.
And it's always fun to just sit down and hang out with you. I wish that we lived closer. But that probably means that neither one of us would get anything done, too. So it's probably better for our spouses. And
if Old Colony was open, you know, like every day, then that'd be bad for us, too.
That would really be bad. Yes. And if he would expand his franchise to Curry Talk, that would be great. Right. I already know some prime locations off 168 where he could build. So,
hey, that would be a really good pastor appreciation gifts or gift cards to Old Colony.
Oh gosh, I love Old Colony.
So once you love Old Colony, and that we are not being paid for that, but we do.
But we can.
We really do like Old Colony the people there. They're great.
I like getting paid in barbecue and mac and cheese. Those are the things I like getting paid in.
The Carolina Twinkies. Oh my goodness. They're the best.
So good. Yeah.
And they're slow fried wings, chicken wings?
I haven't had those
yet. You haven't had those? Yeah. They're good.
I usually stick with the Twinkies and then whatever brisket options he's got available. I've seen his brisket burgers lately though. Those look
those are really good.
Amazing.
Too. Those are really good too.
Amazing. So well, hopefully you guys have enjoyed the episode. And again, if you want to know more about Camp Kale and what they do, www.campkale.com. We're always promoting them here at the church, but we would love for you to check it out too. You can help them out regularly on your own. You don't always have to go through the church on that. You can be your own kind of donor to them if that's something that you are interested in. Always hit up Matt. He'll give you any of the information that you need on that. And then always be looking for the events that they have. So many cool events that they have that happen here. So we just appreciate him and all that he does. So.
Summer camp registration is open.
Summer camp registration. And also on top of that too, don't forget, y'all have scholarships available for that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But we, even as a church, we have opened up a line item to make scholarships available this year too. So if you're a parent and you're in need, don't hesitate. Reach out to us, reach out to Matt. Let's see if there's a way that we can help you get your kid to camp, because it is a unique experience for them. I've been 3 years now?
Yeah.
I've taught. Two or three.
Yeah, you want to do four?
I mean, that's up to you. You're the boss.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. My kid gets to go for free that week, so I don't mind. Perfect. I skip the honorarium so they can come hang out. But anyway, get your kids signed up for that. It's a great time. Again, 6 weeks, six options throughout the year or throughout the summer. So you've got some time to fit in your schedule, but they're going to really enjoy that experience. So other than that, man, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.